trust the Lord. And I was thinking today, it is impossible for us, if you've lived in Eastern North Carolina in the last 3 or 4 days, it's impossible for you to have lived in this area and not have been affected by what's been going on around us. We're affected by it. Now, some are affected maybe more than others, but in some measure, all of us have been affected. We've watched it, we've heard the news, we've watched the news, and you might even want to come to church and escape it, and that's understandable. You hear, sometimes you get tired of hearing about it, and I understand that too. But in the midst of all that, my point is this: you've been affected by it. You've been touched by it. And we can't ignore that. We're here tonight, and it's pretty hard for us not to come here and it not be on our minds. It's pretty hard for us not to come here tonight and not have in some way been affected by all that's been happening. And I was thinking about today, but the Lord had me study something else. But a while ago, the Lord spoke something to my heart while we were praying with the men. And I want to go there, and I want to share a few things with you. Mark chapter 13 and verse 33. Mark chapter 13 and verse 33. I want to remind us, I think, of what Brother Emery spoke before the service, or at the beginning of the service tonight. And the Lord warned us. He told us. When we're in the middle of things, we don't sometimes think about it. You know, we're more worried about, and naturally so, we've just got to keep our stuff in our freezer from going bad. You know, we're just trying to find a way to take a bath. Gets enough water so we can take a shower or something. And we're trying to find a way we can get some lights. How we're going to cook a meal tonight. So those are the things that we have to take care of. And we understand that. But sometimes in the midst of that, we can forget. Why are all these things happening? And why does it seem that they're coming closer and closer together? It's because Jesus is coming. And we have to remember that. So I feel led to take a little detour from, I'll come back to our study that I'm studied on about building the body of Christ. We're going to come back to that. I've got more to share in that subject, but I want to just take a break. Since our lives have been interrupted by Irene, then we're going to have an interrupted message tonight to remind us of where we are. Mark 13 and verse 31, verse 33. Mark 13, verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Would you say amen to God's word? Amen. You may be seated this evening. These are the, in this verse, Mark records for us the three admonitions of the Lord given to us in light of the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in regards to the last days. I find it interesting that when Jesus was spending His last days upon the earth, He spoke to us about our last days upon the earth. And His final words and prophecies that were given while He was spending His last days prior to His crucifixion, He was prophesying and giving us admonitions and warnings about when you and I would be spending our last days upon the earth and what we're to do in response to that. Somewhere, there's a danger that you and I, in the midst of all this, can just treat it like, well, it's just normal. These things happen and life goes on, and let's just do this and do that. And we forget sometimes that, hey, there's a sovereign God that's in charge of things. He knows what's going on. He knows exactly what He's doing. We have forgotten sometimes we are a nation under the judgment of God, that we're in the birth pains, the beginning birth pains of those judgments and the beginning of sorrows, and not just this nation, but the entire world. There are many nations upon this earth that are under the judgment of God right now, not this one only. There are other nations under the judgment of God and have been under the judgment of God and are just progressively going downhill. And that you and I, in a time sometimes, we don't like to talk about those things, but we're Christians. We don't see things as the world sees them. We don't see things through the eyes of Fox News or through the eyes of CNN. We see everything through the eyes of the Word of God and by the eyes of the Holy Ghost. And if we don't maintain that perspective, we can very quickly lose our way in times like this, because these things come to us, they interrupt our lives, they make demands upon us, they demand our attention, they demand our focus, and if we're not careful in the midst of that, you and I can lose our grip on who we are, what we're doing, what God wants us to do, and we can forget the admonitions of the Lord. You and I are getting close to the coming of Jesus Christ. Our Lord's coming is near, church, and I believe that. And Jesus gave these admonitions: take heed, watch, and pray. And I just want to share with you a few things in reference to those while you're turning over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, please. The first thing that Jesus said is, take ye heed. Take heed. That's a watchword of the Lord, if I could put it that way. It is an admonition that He gives to us. I'm just going to mention a couple passages in which Jesus told us to take heed. When He gave us a little bit more detail, this idea of taking heed, of course, is the idea of listen up, pay attention, focus your mind. Let's put some attention on this thing. Watch out for this. Put your attention here. Observe this situation in your life. Matthew, please, chapter 24 and verse 4. The Bible said, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. The first thing the Lord tells us in these days, in the times in which we live, and it's right in Matthew 24, in the midst of these, when He says that there'll be many that will come in His name saying, I'm Christ. Verse 6, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Verse 7, there'll be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And then He mentions famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. All of those things that you and I are dealing with now, persecution that's there. I've been corresponding somewhat with this minister continues to correspond with me from the Philippines. He's emailing and he wants instruction, and there's so much. You would not believe the junk that is headed, that is being piped into other nations around this world. And there are many folks who think that the real gospel is being preached around the world, and it's just a bunch of lies is all that it is, because much of what's being piped into these nations and into these peoples are false doctrines. And he is asking me Bible questions and things about what do I do with this, and what's the Bible say here, and is this right, is that right? And I just noticed, I picked up as he was writing to me, he's asked if we could come and minister to him in the Philippines. He said, I'm praying that someday you can come. But he mentioned that one day he said that you could come and impart something to us. And I can't remember now what it was, impart the Spirit or the gift or some gift or something like that. And when I listened to that language a little bit, it was that same kind of rhetoric that I heard coming out of the Rod Parsley camp. You get coming out of the Benny Hinn camps and that charismatic camp about giving some kind of divine impartation, and that men can impart their anointing one to another. And I just wrote him back and I said, you know, I don't know what your influences have been. I don't know how much Christian television has come your way, but I want to challenge you to be very careful. I said, I cannot, I can come and I can be an instrument of God if God would have us to do something, but I don't have any power to impart the Spirit to you. That comes to you from Jesus Christ. He's the Holy Ghost baptizer. He's the one that leads you. You put your faith in Him, you put your trust in Him, and you be careful about what you hear and what you receive from over the television. And he pinned me back and said, you know, we have had some contact with these ministries and some kind of influence in these ministries. He said, and I will be careful, because I wanted him to understand. And Paul did talk about imparting a spiritual gift to the church at Rome. And there is a sense in which, yes, we can go and our presence there, we can be an instrument of the Holy Ghost. I mean, Peter did say, such as I have, give I unto thee. And there can be a sense in which what we have, what God has given to us, we can be an
an instrument. We can be God's hand extended to touch others. But when it comes to a divine impartation, that comes from God and God alone. When it comes to Holy Ghost baptism, when it comes to manifestations of the Spirit, they are just that. They are manifestations of the Spirit of God. They are gifts that come directly from God. And man, although he may be used in the laying on of hands and various things, that man is not the resource. He is simply an agent. He is simply an instrument in the hand of Almighty God. And that's got to be kept in our minds. And somewhere in the midst of this, where you and I are today, you wouldn't think it that we're in the storm. But do you know what? We can be deceived even about the storm. We can be deceived about what's happening and why it's happening around us. We can forget that sometimes because you and I can get so caught up with what's happening. And I just want us to remind ourselves tonight that we have to focus. We have to take heed. We have to pay attention. And the first thing we have to guard ourselves against is deception. Luke, please, chapter 21. Take heed that no man deceive you. And then he mentions in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 34. He mentions another thing about which you and I need to take heed. Take heed to yourselves. And that's what it is. Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. The idea is to take heed to yourself. And the reason is so that no man can deceive you. And in this verse, that your hearts not be overcharged. Now you have to get that. It's not taking heed to the deceivers. It's taking heed to yourself so that you're not deceived. It's not taking heed to the things that are around you. It's taking heed to you. I've got to pay attention to me. I've got to watch me. No one else is going to really watch me but God. I need to watch me. I need to pay attention to my spiritual life. I need to pay attention to my walk with God. I need to pay attention to my mindset, my attitude, my action, everything I do. And I've got to guard myself. And the reason I've got to take heed to myself is because I can be deceived. And the second reason is my heart can be overcharged. Verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. If we just stop there for a moment. What is a heart that's overcharged? If I can put it in our language. Take heed to yourself, lest your heart get stressed out. You know what you do when you overcharge something? You put more amperage in it, or voltage, than it can contain. And what happens when you overcharge something is it can cause it to explode. Now, it may be strong enough that it can bear the overcharge, but more often than not, no. That when you overcharge something, you take a battery on a car and you overcharge the battery, you can blow up the battery. That's just the way it is. And I can tell you that if do not think you can handle it by yourself, the devil is capable of putting more pressure on your life than you can contain. Our enemy is stronger than we are alone. He's not stronger than the Holy Ghost. That's why you and I have got to depend on God in everything that we do. And we've got to take heed and we've got to watch out so that our hearts are in tune with the truth and that men are not deceiving us. And then we have to watch out and take heed to ourselves so that we are careful that we do not allow our hearts, not necessarily our heads, not necessarily our finances, not necessarily our pocketbooks, not necessarily even our bodies, but our hearts get overcharged. When your heart gets overcharged, you'll lose your will to go on. When your heart gets overcharged, you'll lose your will to fight. Your body can get overcharged and a good 2 or 3 nights sleep can recharge it, get the thing back in place and you can be good to go. The head can get overcharged and you can go out and do some physical labor and get your mind off all your problems or something and you can give your time, mind to refresh. But you overcharge that heart, my friend, and there's no will to go on. Depression will set in and you'll get in a state of mind that you're not going to be able to function and do what you need to do. You and I have got to make sure that our hearts don't get stressed out. In the day in which we live, we must keep the will, we must keep the desire, we must keep the passion for God alive, and the heart to press on no matter what comes our way.
Right. Hallelujah.
Now, he mentions 3 things that will overcharge the heart. The first thing he mentions is surfeiting. Surfeiting is the idea of a wasteful expenditure of your energy. It is what the prodigal son did
when he went out and he wasted his living. That's surfeiting. And what it is, it's a wasteful expense of your time. I don't know about you, but in our technological world, it is so easy to get caught up in things and have 2 or 3 hours gone by, or 4 or 5 hours, or even a whole day, and it's been an absolute waste of our time. And sometimes it may not be anything doing bad, but we can just sometimes get so caught up in this because things come to us and they can place so much demands upon us, and it ends up just being a wasteful expenditure of our time and a wasteful expenditure of our energies, and that can come from various things around us. It can come from indulgence. It can come from just because you go out and you get indulged in this or involved in this and that. But in anywhere in which you and I are just putting our energy, and there's no fruit, there's no good benefit that's really coming out of it, and we're just wasting the resources that God has given us. And I'm telling you, nothing can stress out the heart more than putting your energy to something and seeing no results out of it. In my personal life, I had to share with my wife today some things that were changing in me in reference to a particular area of ministry. And I began to share with her, I cannot get my heart to go to a such and such a place. I said, it's just like it's gotten cold. And I said, I want to be so careful that I place my energies where they're most fruitful. Because you only have so much time. You only have so much strength. You only have so much grace in order for you to give it out to others. And I'll tell you, nothing gets more disturbing than spending your time on something and you feel like you're spinning your wheels. I want to go somewhere. I want to accomplish something for the Lord. I'm not asking for God can determine the results. I understand that. But I do want to know at the end of the day that I have not put my time into wood, hay, and stubble. I want gold, silver, and precious stones. I want something that's going to abide the fire. And we are seeing too many people fall by the wayside. And, you know, even as we were called out to help someone the other day, in my compassion, I reached out to touch them. But as soon as I saw there was another avenue to go, I just said, hey, here's the way that you need to go. And I went on my way because I just felt like it was a waste of my time. It was a waste of my energy, and I'm not interested in doing that. I've only got so much to give, and I do not want to waste my energies. It can overcharge your heart. The second thing he mentions is drunkenness. Drunkenness is this, again, it's this idea of some feeling, or it comes after you may have given yourself to something. When a man is drunk, obviously you can get drunk on a lot of things. You get drunk on drugs. You get drunk on liquor. You get drunk on those things. But you can get drunk on, television. You can get drunk on the internet. And you can get drunk on the telephone. You get drunk on music. What do you mean by drunk? I mean that you give yourself by something that thing so inundates your life. And you become so full of that thing that you've lost your ability to reason and to think clearly. Drunk people don't think very clearly. There's so much under the influence if they're drunk on beer. There's so much under the influence of beer that they can't reason right. They can't rationalize things and they don't make good decisions. And I'm telling you, it can be drunk with your problems. You can be drunk on money. You can be drunk anything that puts you in a state of mind where you are not making wise choices and good rational decisions and you're not thinking straight. You are drunk. And I'm telling you, it will overcharge your heart because the decisions you make in a state of drunkenness, when you come out of that drunkenness, will make you depressed and weary because you say, look back and say, why did I do such stupid things? Anybody understand what I'm saying tonight? We can get drunk on this idea of drunkenness, losing your ability to reason, and it doesn't matter what it is or where it comes from, but you're just feeling so overcome by it that a sense of calm, judicious realism and reasoning and reflection is absolutely impossible. And I've seen people like that. We're living in a day when common sense has run down the gutter. It's gone. And there's a lot of folks, they just get overcome. They get in a panic. They get this happen and that happens, and they become so overwhelmed and under the influence of their dilemma, they can't even think straight. They can't rationalize and they can't reason. You and I have got to keep a clear head in times like these, because it will overcharge the heart. And the third thing, he says, are the cares of this life. That's one of the things that's happened this week to us, isn't it? We've been involved in the cares of this life. I'm not saying these things to condemn any of us. I'm saying what Jesus told us to do. I didn't say it. The Lord told us to do it. Do you know that Jesus knew the earthquakes would come? He knew the hurricanes would come. He knew the difficulties and stress would come to our life. He knew the floods would come. He knew the storms would come. He knew it all before you were ever thought of, before you ever came into this world. That's why He put these words here. And we are fools if we don't listen to them. We think we're greater than we are if we don't take the time and sit down for a minute and say, let me get a grip. Let me make sure that my heart's not becoming overcharged with all of the cares of this life. That's what we've had to deal with in this storm. I mean, for a couple of days, we're having to run here, we're having to run there, we're having to take care of this problem and that problem, have to just find ways again to just take care of the normal things of life. And I'm telling you, it's difficult to maintain a 2011 lifestyle by 1920 standards. Or with 1920 capacity. Look, kerosene lamps were good back then, but we're struggling with them today. You didn't have to worry. Most folks wasn't concerned about losing electricity in 1920. But a lot of folks didn't have electricity in 1920. It didn't bother them. They didn't have to worry about taking a shower. They go out and they pull the water out of the well. They'll stick it on the tub or the stove. They'll heat it up and they're going to take their bath. And that's just the way that it is. And it's done. But I tell you what, when you're doing that in 2011, it's a little bit disconcerting, isn't it? Yeah, because we're not accustomed to it. I'm not degrading that. I said that after all this is done, I think I'm going to go around every time I turn a light switch on in the room, I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. Every time I flip the light switch and the light comes on and say, thank you, God. I'm grateful for electricity. You please understand that. I'm thankful for it. But my point is this. Those kind of stresses are going to come again and again and again. Just taking care of the normal things of life can overcharge your heart, because it feels like I spend so much time just taking care of this and dealing with this and dealing with that. And it just comes. Sometimes you wonder, why in the world are we doing it? What's this all about? And it can overcharge your heart. You have to learn to take care to yourself. Watch yourself. Do what you need to do and march on for Jesus. Take care of it. Don't let it consume you. Get right back in the flow. Give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, keep me focused, because I've got to reach souls for you in 2011. I've got to build up the body of Jesus Christ, and I want to see revival yet fall and the presence of God touch Washington, North Carolina, because Jesus is coming. And all of these things that consume the world can come to you. Take heed to yourself. The third thing, the second thing he indicated was to watch. Take heed no man deceive you. Take heed that your hearts are not overcharged. I'll just give you those two. The second thing he says is to watch. Let's go back to Matthew, please, chapter 24. I'm just going to mention them quickly. But in Matthew chapter 24, he talks about this watch in verse 42. Watch therefore. And then he gives three parables in succession. He gives a parable of a householder, mentions in verse 42 through verse 51. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. And then he says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Now in verse 45. And then he starts the parable. Who then is a wise and faithful servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? He addresses the first parable in reference to watching. And he addresses this first parable to the authorities. To those who have, he has given authority in his house. To the rulers of the household. Those he's made rulers over his household. The first admonition comes to us as elders. But in all of us, in some measure, will rule. It can be applied to fathers in their own homes who rule in their houses. It can be applied to mothers who rule in their domain under their husbands. It can apply to whatever domain that you may be in. It may apply on your job. You may be owner of a business and you rule over employees. It may be you're given a government office. Whatever it is, wherever it is that you are in a position in which you are ruling, how is it that you could be watching for God to come? It is that when you are ruling, you make sure what you're doing is the will of God and that you're giving meat to those that are under you, that you're using the resources that God has placed in your possession. You're using those resources to the benefit and the good of those that are under your authority, and that you're not wasting them upon your own selves. All that God's given us, and the authority gives us, and the gifts and the talents He gives us, are not for us to squander on some selfish expenditure, but they are to be used for the building of the kingdom of God. The man that is watching is the man that is using his resources to minister to those that are under his authority. In other words, to give them the meat in due season. That when there's a need, and wherever that need is there, many times we're not able to meet the need. We're not able to reach out and give the meat because we've wasted our time elsewhere. If there's one thing I have realized in this hour, things can come upon us so quickly. Things can happen to us so as a matter of fact right now. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you'll get yourself in some kind of spiritual condition where because you've wasted your time, you've done something, you've squandered away your hours, you haven't kept in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then when that moment of emergency arises and someone needs meat from you, someone needs a word from you, someone needs encouragement from you, someone needs a word from God, someone needs exhortation, you can't give it because you're out of sync with God, and that means you're not watching for the coming of Jesus Christ. Somewhere what you and I are going to have to do is we're going to have to keep ourselves so that we make sure our relationship with Jesus is first and proper, and that we are ready to minister meat to those around us when due season, when it's time, when it's ready, when it's called for, when it's needful. And then in chapter 25, parable of the 10 virgins. Here he talks about and ministers to all of us and deals again with our personal relationship with Christ, and fulfilling our personal responsibilities to ourselves. There's our responsibilities to others, and there's our responsibilities to ourselves. And he gives in the parable the virgins. You know it. There's five wise, there's five foolish. The difference between the foolish and the wise is this, if I could put it very simply. The wise thought ahead of time, and the foolish didn't. They all got the same command. They all had the same opportunities. They all had the same time frame. They're all invited to the same wedding. They're all waiting for the bridegroom. That's not the issue. The difference between the wise and the foolish is the wise take time to prepare. The wise are thinking ahead, and the foolish are living for the moment. That's the difference. Why? Because the wise go out to meet the bridegroom, and they not only take oil in their lamps, they take extra oil in their vessels. The foolish only take oil in their lamps. Because in the eye of the foolish, hey, it'll be enough. Let's go. We don't have time. If we stop now to take oil in our vessels, it's going to be tossed us too much. It's going to take too much time. Let's not worry about it. Let's just move on. And then those that are wise said, now we better take some oil in our vessels with us, because what we've got on our lamp may not be enough. You know how this thing can be. It might take a little bit longer than you think. And I'm telling you right now, we're near the coming of Jesus Christ. But you know what? The time between now and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ might be a little bit longer than you think. And you and I have got to make sure that we are still working. As the song said tonight, we'll work till Jesus comes. And we've got to keep ourselves prepared and keep ourselves strong. And you notice what he said. The virgins arose. They at midnight there was a cry, verse 6. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps literally are going out. They were not out completely, but they were going out. And they knew they had but just a few minutes. They still had a little bit of time. If you're not careful, you'll not only run out of oil, you'll run out of fire. And they still had a little bit of fire, and they had a little bit of oil, but they knew they didn't have enough oil to maintain their fire, and the lamp was going out, and they didn't get oil, their fire would go out as well. So they said to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are going out. And the wise answer and say, no, lest there be not enough for us and you. But you go rather than the sell and buy for yourselves. Some people look at that and think, well, they were selfish. They should have shared with them. Not true. That's not the intent of the parable. They were wise, and the Bible doesn't call anybody selfish wise. No, sir. What's the thing the Lord's trying to teach us? What the Lord's trying to teach us is this. There are some things that only you can do. There are some things that others simply cannot do for you. I can't do your repenting for you. I can't do your praying for you. I can't do your seeking for to be filled with the Spirit for you. I can't do your apologies for you. And the things you need to do to maintain your relationships and your walk with Jesus Christ can only be done by you. I can't take what I have and give it unto you when it's something you should be taking care of yourself. And there are some things that are your responsibility and your responsibility alone. And there are so many times we live in a world we want everybody else to do it for us. We're looking for a handout. We're looking for someone else to come in, take up the slack that's in our life. I'm telling you, your lamp is going to go out and you're going to miss it, because the one that's watching for the coming of Jesus Christ is the one that's taking heed. They're watching over their spiritual condition. They're making sure they've got oil, that the fire's burning in their heart. And when Jesus comes, they're ready to go out and meet the Bridegroom. Glory to God. That's where you and I have got to stay. We have got to make sure we do our praying, because nobody else can do our praying for us. Amen. I can't tell you how many people and requests I get on a daily basis. Pray for us. It's become a habit for people to say it. I'm not saying this, God forbid, take it as you want it, but very seldom do I ask people to pray for me. It's not that I don't need it. I need prayers. And I do ask people to pray for me. But I ask people to pray for me when I feel like their prayers will be heard. And number two, when I feel like I really need the help of other people. I really would like to engage them in this act of prayer. But it has become such a habit today. Pray for this, pray for that, pray for this, happen, pray for this, happen, pray for that, happen. And I'm going to be honest with you. If I really did and prayed for all and gave for all the requests that people give me, I would not be able to eat or sleep, because it would be impossible for me to do it. And quite frankly, I do not answer a lot of people. Well, pray for us, Brother Woods, and sometimes I just change the subject and say something else. I don't wish to hurt their feelings, but you know what? Quite frankly, I'm probably not going to pray for them. Now, when I do tell them I will pray for them, I intend to pray for them, and I do my very best to remember it and to not just simply mention their name, but really pray for them. Because I don't like to tell people that I'm going to pray for them unless I mean to pray for them. I don't want to say it just because, well, it seems nice to say it. Oh, we're remembering your prayers. And how many times you say, we're praying for you, and you're lying. Oh, we're praying for you, brother. We're praying for you. You hadn't said 10 seconds in prayer for them. Don't you ever tell anyone you're praying for them unless you are praying for them. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you just say it out of habit. We're people of truth. If you're going to speak it, you do it. Amen. And there is this idea that you and I have got to take care of ourselves, because I don't mean to say that. I want you to know there's times I stand in front of the church, and I notice several men in this church. I notice sometimes there are men, they don't always. There's times I stand there, I need someone to pray for me. I need the elders to lay hands on me. I just feel that. But I don't do that over every little runny nose or every little thing that comes along, because I need to pray in my afflictions. I need to touch God for me. I need God to move on me. And then there's times I just feel like, man, I need some help here. I just want my brothers to help me carry this burden. I need them to help me carry this burden. And that's all right. I'm not telling you not to have your brothers pray for you. I'm just telling you, don't ask your brothers to pray if you're not also praying. Because you're asking them to do what you need to be doing in your own self. And you're not watching for Jesus to come. The third thing he says is a parable in Matthew chapter 25. In verse 14, he begins and talks about it. It's the parable of the sometimes call it the parable of the talents, but nevertheless, it's given to them. He gives them money. He delivers them his goods. In verse 14, he gives one 5 talents. A talent is money. These talents are not abilities here. These are responsibilities. And he gave unto one 5 talents. That was a form of money. He gave to another 2. He gave to each according to his ability. According to their ability, he gave them responsibility. This guy's got an ability to handle this much, so I'm giving him 5. This man's got an ability to handle this much, so I'm going to give him this much responsibility. It's God's response to your ability. That's what responsibility is. And so what it is that God says, they're able to handle this, they're able to deal with this, then they've got this much responsibility. Where much is given, much is required. That's the idea. And you and I, and this is all in the kingdom work, in the kingdom business. And now we're talking about in the middle of this, and here's where we are and all that's going on. We've got things we've got to take care of. There are people that are not here tonight, not because they don't want to be in church, but they're just things they've got to do. It's behooved upon them. The pressure's there. No fault to them for that. But what you and I've got to remember, when all of that settles down, and we've got to remember, kingdom work is first, God's work is primary, and we can't neglect our responsibilities in building the kingdom of God while we are having to deal with the cares of life on a daily basis, because many times in hours like this, then it will be God gets put on the back burner whenever we've got other things that are more pressing in our life. I don't say that to condemn anyone. I'm just saying, watch. I know the people that are not here tonight, that are always here, that are regular. I know that and understand that. And I know that they would rather, much rather, be right here in the house of God. We are not talking about that, but we are talking about many things that come up with people. Every little headache, every little thing that comes their way. I mean, they're out of church. They're out of church for this and that. And they are neglecting their duties in building the kingdom of God because they are caught up with other things. And that's where we are. Watch. And make sure that you always keep kingdom work as number one priority in your life. That even as I'm going out, and I know our men are doing it as they're out there and they're working and they're laboring. So you gotta go out here, and we've gotta cut a tree over here. We've gotta go over and help this person. We've gotta go help this person and do that. And in the middle of that, we want to make sure we minister the Word of God and that we take care of the Lord's work while we're doing it. The final admonition is to pray. Take heed. To watch, and then he said to pray. You would think, what can be said about prayer that hasn't already been said? But I know something happens when these interruptions that come to our life like we have now, one of the first things that typically gets knocked out of our schedule is prayer. Tell me if I'm right. Is that true? It's usually one of the first things that gets pushed back because other things take precedent. Sometimes that may be unavoidable. If you're in a habit of praying, certain times, certain place, and all of a sudden the interruption comes in, you're not able to get there in that certain time, in that certain place, so your prayer life is interrupted, your prayer life is invaded. I think I understand that. I know that's happened to all of us. The problem is when the interruption or the exception becomes the rule. And the effort that enemy wants to do is that when the exception comes, and that day you didn't make your morning prayer, is that you make certain, you make every effort to not let that become your habit, and you get right back on track of seeking God and staying on your knees and crying out to God. Because if you're not careful, you will get out there and you'll try to meet these challenges in your own ability. And I'm here to tell you right straight up front, you're going to fail. You're going to fall flat. It's not going to go right for you. It's not going to come together. The other morning, I was so happy and so glad. I am not a tree service crew. I'm telling you, I am not. I enjoy cutting firewood. I enjoy cutting trees. I don't want to do it for a living unless I don't feel any call to do that. But I got up early, very early on Tuesday morning. I think it was about 4:00 in the morning. Had to get the generators going, and I was just seeking the Lord that morning. God, I don't want to miss anything today. I don't want to try to do anything in my own strength. I need you to be with me.
And oh, was I so happy when we get up, the sister knocks him and we're cutting down a limb and get up in the tree. And I didn't see those power lines were up there and cut off a big old limb. And all I can see is when that limb starts to fall, I look up there and those power lines are slapping up and down. And I'm hearing some popping going on and all my mind dollar signs are raising up in my eyeballs. And I think, oh no, it wasn't Hurricane Irene. It was a stupid preacher up here cutting a tree causing these folks to lose power. What in the world am I doing? And I'm just, oh Lord, please don't let those things break. Please don't let those things break. And God was merciful to us. I didn't even see them. Didn't know they were there and didn't realize it. But I tell you that God was with me and I know it and I felt it and I understood it was His protecting hand. And God will watch out for you. But I'm telling you, if you're not praying and you're not in tune with God, you're not going to see God watching out in your life. Just what the brother said. He prayed. He talked to God. And God gave him an answer. Brother Max said it tonight. God took care of the situation. That needs to become your habit. Start praying about everything. Pray in everything. In everything give thanks. And all the time learn to pray. You need to make such a habit of prayer that you pray going down the road. Anytime you get a free second, you're talking to God. But I'm telling you, don't let that take place. You also need a time where you're alone on your knees, a specific time. Everything else is shut off. The cell phone is out of the way. Everything is quiet and it's nothing but you and God. It's all right to talk to God going down the road. You need to do that. It's all right to talk to God on your way to work. It's all right to talk to God while you're washing the dishes. There's nothing wrong with that, but that cannot take the place of your private time with just you and God in the closet. God said, pray in the closet, and the closet cannot be when you're just washing dishes. You need to learn to pray then. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. And that's all right. We need to learn to pray at all times, and God will hear you. But I'm telling you, that is not a substitute for that special time and place prayer. That's got to be established in your life. You want the Father to be working in your life? Then pray to the Father, which is in secret. And your Father which sees in secret, He will reward you openly. There's only one thing. You hear me right now. Ministries are going to fail. Church resources, in terms of economic resources, are going to fail. There's only one thing that's not going to fail, and that's God. And there's only one way to stay in tune with God, and that's pray. I need Thee every hour. Every hour I need Thee. Bless me now, gentle Savior, I come to Thee. How many can say in the storm, I need Him? But how many can say when the storm subsides, I still need Him? I need Him tonight. I felt His presence in a special way tonight. I did. I just thank the Lord for the presence. Sometimes when my heart is overwhelmed, yeah, I have to cry, Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. But that cry is a prayer. But if you've never developed the special time of prayer, you'll not do the other kind of praying you need to do also. Take heed, watch, and pray. Take heed no man deceive you. Take heed your heart not be overcharged. Watch so you can minister meat to those under you. Watch so that your life will be on fire when Jesus comes. Watch so that you can build the kingdom of God. And pray that you can have strength to stand in the midst of this hour because you are ever dependent upon Almighty God. Let us stand. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for everything's done. We do need to remember our fellow brothers and sisters. There's another storm out in the Atlantic, church. It could all be coming again in a few weeks of time. We don't like to hear it, but our brother was right. These things are going to get closer together. Whether we like it or not, they're going to come in greater frequency. If our hearts are getting overcharged now, how are we going to stand it when it intensifies? Let's take heed. Let's watch. And let's pray. How many will do that? How many will remember the words of Jesus Christ?
I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to take heed. I'm going to watch my heart. I'm going to watch whether I'm deceived or not. Keep my hold of the truth. I'm going to watch my own personal life. I'm going to watch, make sure that I'm able to minister to those around me. And that I'm concentrating on building the kingdom of God. And I'm going to continue to pray and build my prayer time with the Lord. Grow in my prayer life. Amen. Would you just bow your heads? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you tonight. God, I just thank you for your presence that I felt in this place right here this evening. I thank you, God, for an opportunity to pray, the privilege of prayer. I thank you for those that were able to be here tonight, and I thank you for those who couldn't be here tonight. And Lord, I thank you for reminding us of your watchwords. Take heed, watch, and pray. And let none of us think that we can stand, God. You told us, Lord, man, wherefore let a man think he stand. Take heed to himself, lest he fall. Oh, glory to God. Help us, O Lord, to be careful and to watch ourselves, God, to not let anything get in our way. Lord, to not let any form of pride take hold of us, any sense of self-sufficiency or self-reliance that would get hold of us, Lord, that would cause us to think we can somehow make it and that we're somehow going to stand and we're just as tough as the next one. We're resilient and we'll bounce back. God, we aren't going to bounce anywhere unless your hand keeps us, Lord, and strengthens us, Lord. Unless your grace and mercy is upon us, we will be overwhelmed by the things that are coming. And I just ask you to help us, Lord, to be reminded and to, Lord, remember the words that you've said, to take heed, to watch and pray. And I pray, God, again for those that are not here tonight, that are out there, that are, Lord, working and laboring. They've got, Lord, so many things that have happened in their life. And God, you know what's going on. You know the emergencies, the responsibilities, Lord, that have devolved upon them. And I'm just asking you to keep them. I'm asking you to strengthen them, Lord. And I'm asking you to help us to watch, Lord, that we can pray for one another in the midst of this storm. But Lord, that we will guard ourselves, watch over our own spiritual condition, Lord, so that we are ready, so that we are, Lord, looking, because your coming is near around the corner. And I'm looking for that, Lord. I feel that tonight. I feel it tonight, Jesus, that you are admonishing us and you are speaking to your people to get ready. And to see that these things, Lord, we have been forewarned of them. And that you are with us in the storm. Hallelujah. For you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you for that. We take great comfort in that promise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.